The use of Vatican and Vatican-related elements as a vehicle for destabilizing the Warsaw Pact and the Soviet Union is something we're going to look at right now. There was a cover story in Time magazine earlier in 1992, which I utilized in an addendum to Radio Free America 36, Destabilization of the USSR in Eastern Europe, in which active collaboration between the Reagan administration and the Vatican to both support the Solidarity movement in Poland and to destabilize Poland was chronicled at considerable length. And note again, the strong involvement of the P2, the P2 lodge headed up by Italian fascist and Licio Gelli, with the Vatican. We took a look at that in RFAs numbers 17 through 21. Note also that William Casey, director of the CIA, friend of Prescott and ally of George Bush, ally of both Bushes actually, Reagan's campaign director, CIA director under Reagan, a member of the Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, he was a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, or Knights of Malta, along with, among others, former Reagan Secretary of State Alexander Haig. The SMOM intersects heavily with U.S. intelligence and has been utilized by it. We took a look at the SMOM in both Radio Free America programs number 17 and 21. The SMOM bestowed its highest award, the Gran Croce al Merito, on Reinhard Gehlen, something like the eighth person in the thousand-year history of that organization to receive that award. Note, as we looked at in Radio Free America 17 also, that Pope John Paul II has an interesting history. He's very close to the Opus Dei lay Vatican organization, whose founder, Father José María Escriva de Balaguer, was an ardent supporter of Francisco Franco, and he has now been basically beatified. He's going to become, that is to say, de Balaguer is going to become a saint. And note also that Pope John Paul II relieved the pressure on the P2 Lodge, which his predecessor, the assassinated, certainly the untimely deceased Pope John Paul I, well, he was putting pressure on P2. That pressure was relieved by Pope John Paul II. John Paul II, interestingly enough, brought in Hermann Abs, the chairman emeritus of the Deutsche Bank and a key Third Reich financier, the person who, as an IG Farben director, generated the capital to set up the slave labor camps at Auschwitz. It was John Paul II who was in those same slave labor camps who brought in Hermann Abs to help straighten out the Vatican finances. And note that the head of the Vatican Bank, the IOR, the Institute for Religious Works, was American-born Archbishop Paul Marcinkus, the Pope's bodyguard. Marcinkus, an American of Lithuanian descent. And speaking of Lithuania, we're going to recapitulate one of the major elements in Radio Free America 36, namely the activities of U.S. intelligence in Lithuania through the National Endowment for Democracy-funded Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid and Lithuanian Information Center, which served to help resurrect inside of the Sąjūdis Lithuanian independence movement many of the same Lithuanian elements that had been present when Lithuania was an independent fascist country prior to its incorporation into the late Soviet Union as a result of the Hitler-Stalin Pact, and many of those same elements collaborated actively in the Lithuanian Waffen-SS divisions and in the extermination of the Jews and other, quote, enemies of the German race during the Nazi occupation of Lithuania. And note that Archbishop Brzezis, Vincentas Brzezis, B-R-I-Z-G-Y-S, head of Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid, the founder and the chairman emeritus, basically, he was an enthusiastic Third Reich collaborator. Again, by way of taking a look at how U.S. intelligence, and in particular U.S. intelligence in the Reagan-Bush years, and bear in mind Philip Guarino, an honorary member of the P2, member of the RHGC, this by way of taking a look at how the Third Reich tactic of utilizing the Intermarium, later adopted by U.S. intelligence, came to its fulfillment under the Reagan years. And one of the major elements, again, in Radio Free America 36 was the secession of Lithuania involving Sąjūdis with resurgent Nazi and fascist elements, aided by U.S. intelligence. We're going to read now from a Covert Action Information Bulletin's issue number 35 from the fall of 1990. This is an article by Philip Bonosky, B-O-N-O-S-K-Y. It's entitled NED Medals in Lithuania, Nurturing Baltic Reaction. The article begins, and again, I'm not going to go into the detail in some of these articles that I did in RFA 36. That was a massive show in and of itself, as if this one wasn't already massive enough. So do get a hold of those archived, or RFA 36, for a more detailed account. Bonosky writes, in Nurturing Baltic Reaction, of LCRA, LIC, NED, Sejudis, and the resurgence of fascist elements in Lithuania as part of a destabilization program. In April of 1990, the Soviet Republic of Lithuania startled the world by declaring itself independent of the USSR. The U.S. has not yet recognized Lithuania as independent, and Bush's public remarks have been moderate. But beneath this facade of calm statecraft, there runs a familiar current of silent U.S. involvement in the political affairs of another country. The most visible intervention has been via the National Endowment for Democracy, or NED, which has supplied funds, equipment, and advice to the principal nationalist opposition party, Sejudis, S-A-J-U-D-I-S. NED has chosen to funnel its Lithuanian aid through one organization, the New York-based Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid, LCRA, and its propaganda arm, Lithuanian Information Center, or LIC. These two organizations are run by arch-conservative Catholic clergy. The founder, current board chair, and the man who has, quote, presided over the steady growth and increasing effectiveness, unquote, of LCRA, Bishop Vincentis Brižis, was allegedly a Nazi collaborator during World War II. Brižis vehemently denies the charge. Sejudis itself is linked in a variety of ways to the symbols and sentiments of the fascist and Nazi periods of Baltic history. Skipping down, Lithuania declared itself independent from Tsarist Russia in 1918, but in 1926 the Nationalist Party took power through a military coup. Declaring himself president, Augustas Voldemaris and his premier, Antanas Smetona, shaped Lithuania into Europe's second fascist state, based explicitly on the example of Mussolini's Italy. Spellings Augustus, A-U-G-U-S-T-U-S, Voldemaris, V-O-L-D-E-M-A-R-E-S, and Antanas is A-N-T-A-N-A-S, Smetona, S-M-E-T-O-N-A. Continuing. Lithuania remained a dictatorship until 1939, when Smetona fled to the U.S. and a new parliament voted unanimously to become a constituent republic of the USSR. With the German invasion of the Soviet Union in 1941, Lithuania's nationalists returned briefly to power and assisted the Nazis in the swift, systematic slaughter of more than 130,000 Lithuanian Jews, communists, and other, quote, undesirables, unquote. In April of 1990, a 34-year-old American, William J.H. Huff III, H-O-U-G-H, was very busy in Lithuania. Huff was sent to Lithuania, although he doesn't speak Lithuanian, as legal advisor to Vytautas Landsbergis, the leader of the Nationalist Party. That's V-Y-T-A-U-T-A-S, L-A-N-D-S-B-E-R-G-I-S. He was recommended by LCRA-LIC, which the U.S. press has cited as very enthusiastic about his work. Cooperating closely with Huff, LCRA-LIC has supplied Sejudis with paper, photocopy machines, computers, laser printers, fax machines, and video cameras. With additional political and technical expertise, Vilnius quickly became a communications hub for secessionist forces in Lithuania and other Soviet republics. So again, Lithuania, the second fascist state in Europe in the 20s, modeled after Mussolini's Italy, and William J.H. Huff, an advisor to Mr. Landsbergis, leader of the Nationalist Party, now the president of Lithuania, and he's working on behalf of LCRA-LIC, whose founder and chairman of the board is Archbishop Brižis. Skipping down, more about LCRA-LIC and its involvement in Lithuania, about LCRA-LIC and its involvement in Lithuania. According to LCRA-LIC, Its 1990 grant application to NED requested $618,300 and outlined its ambitious proposal as follows. 5 separate pro-democratic organizations would receive technical and material aid. The first, a coalition of democratic parties enjoying broad support in Lithuania and capable of assuming leading roles in the new legislature, would receive computer and audio-visual equipment. Communications and video equipment will be transported to the Sejudis Information Agency. According to NED, funds went only to Sejudis. The second part of the project would ensure a continuous supply of much-needed paper for independent publishers and organizations. The dramatic increase in the number of democratic groups in Lithuania in the past year has caused severe shortages in the very limited pool of resources. Because of the degree of liberalization in Lithuania, this republic has emerged as the publishing center for the independent groups throughout the Soviet Union. Within weeks of the arrival of these goods, traditional sources of information in Lithuania were suppressed or taken over by Sejudis. Nationalist sympathizers cut off broadcast programming from Moscow, and Lithuania was soon flooded with secessionist propaganda. In the ensuing election, Sejudis managed to dominate the scene by riding the crest of a wave of nationalist sentiment. It won a majority in the Seim, S-E-I-M, or parliament. In March, a hastily convened session of parliament voted for secession in a matter of hours. Laws were passed curbing opposition newspapers and changing the flag and national anthem, reverting to versions in use during the nationalist period. As to whether or what of real substance should change, Sejudis remains silent. To Lithuanians old enough to remember the Second World War, the energetic activities of Sejudis, LCRA, and LIC must seem vaguely familiar. Landsbergis's father was a member of the Savandoriai, S-A-V-A-N-D-O-R-I-A-I, or Nationalist Militia, who fought the Russians in 1918 and 19, helped enforce the successive dictatorships of Voldemarish and Smetona, and collaborated with the German occupation. A reporter for Der Spiegel wrote in April of 1990 that, quote, "Everybody fears Sejudis. Anyone who attacks Sejudis is declared an enemy of the people by Landsbergis, and that happens very quickly," unquote. In addition, the Savandoriai, illegal under Soviet law, have been revived under the leadership of retired army officers. Prior to the German invasion in June of 1941, a Berlin-based, quote, Lithuanian Information Bureau, unquote, the propaganda arm of the Lithuanian Activist Front, a nationalist exile organization, sent the following message into Lithuania. Liberation is close at hand. Note, this is liberation in the original Nazi use of the term. Liberation is close at hand. Uprisings must be started in the cities, towns, and villages of Lithuania. Communists and other traitors must be arrested at once. The traitor will be pardoned only provided he proves beyond doubt that he has killed one Jew at least. In the book Blowback, Christopher Simpson crisply summarizes part of the, quote, liberation, unquote, that followed. Municipal killing squads employing Lithuanian Nazi collaborators eliminated 46,692 Jews in fewer than 3 months, according to their own reports, mainly by combining clock-like liquidation of 500 Jews per day in the capital city of Vilnius with mobile, quote, cleanup, unquote, sweeps through the surrounding countryside. Such squads were consistently used by the Nazis for the dirty work that even the SS believed to be beneath the dignity of the German soldier. So again, the national anthem, the flag, and the Savandoriai of Lithuania's fascist and Nazi collaborationist periods are basically restored by Landsbergis and Sejudis after the declared secession. And again, through LCRA, LIC, basically reflecting the same tactics and attitudes of the Intermarium organization, they are the dominant American force aiding the Sejudis organization, and that was a profound element in its success. Skipping down and continuing in Banovsky's article, as auxiliary bishop of Kaunas, or Kovno, K-O-V-D-N-O, during the German occupation, Kaunas is K-A-U-N-A-S, Bishop Vincentis Brugis, founder of LCRA-LIC, lent his spiritual authority to fascism. When the Nazis retreated, so did he, first to Germany, then to Chicago, where he has lived, worked, and carried the nationalist banner for 25 years. The clergy hated socialism for very clear reasons. The socialist government, which came to power in 1939, had separated church and state. Church property was confiscated, including large farms where peasants labored under semi-feudal conditions eliminated elsewhere in Europe centuries before. Clergy were removed from government and the educational system, two institutions where they had long wielded powerful influence. Archbishop Shvirekas, S-K-V-I-R-E-C-K-A-S, Brigitte's superior, documented the bishop's collaborationist activities with evident satisfaction. Continuing, the Archbishop's diary for July 1, 1941, reveals that Brigitte made contact, quote, with the representative of the German government for the Baltic states, Dr. Groffe, G-R-O-F-F-E, formerly head of Gestapo in East Prussia, who proposed that he, Brigitte, should make an appeal to the people to behave quietly and pursue their daily business with confidence without any fear that they might be harmed. On June 30th of 1941, the Archbishop had written, quote, "The ideas in Mein Kampf on the question of the Bolshevik Jewish contagion are splendid. They prove that Hitler is not only an enemy of the Jews, but generally speaking, has the right ideas," unquote. That's Archbishop Brzees, founder of LCRA-LIC. Continuing, an appeal to welcome the Nazis was broadcast by radio, then published in a major Kaunas newspaper signed by Shvirekas, Brzees, and Vicar General Solis, S-A-U-L-Y-S. Their signatures were also on a formal telegram of thanks to Hitler for, quote, "Lithuania's liberation," unquote, sent in the middle of July 1941. Note the use of the term liberation. This is the original Nazi genesis of what became a dominant American political force, as we have seen. Continuing, as the Nazis and their collaborators implemented the diabolical logic of Mein Kampf, Brzees, quote, "set an example for the entire population by forbidding the clergy to aid the Jews in any way," unquote. He also urged from his pulpit and via radio and newspaper that Lithuanians cooperate with the Nazis. When the Soviet army, led by its 16th Lithuanian Division, drove the Nazis out in 1944, Brzees fled to safety in Germany, then to the U.S. Sent to the Archdiocese of Chicago, he helped launch Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid in 1961 and served as LCRA president until 1986. He is now chair of the board of directors. So again, with the agitation for independence of the Baltic states, with the aid for resurgence of fascist elements within the structure of the Sejudis organization, we're basically seeing a recapitulation by U.S. intelligence, again, the overt operations of NED, reflecting the synthesis of overt and covert operations that we saw as a result of NSC 68, we're seeing a recapitulation of this tactic, of the intramarium tactic, so to speak, by U.S. intelligence under the Reagan-Bush administrations as part of the destabilization of the USSR. We're going to stick now with Radio Free America Covert Action Information Bulletin number 35, and we're going to take a look now at the projection of some of these same Galen ABN-related elements, including the very Laszlo Pastor, who founded the Republican Heritage Group's Council, as we looked at in Radio... Covert Action Information Bulletin number 33. We're going to take a look at the Free Congress Foundation, founded by Paul Weyrich, its association with the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, its close relationship with Boris Yeltsin at the time that this article was written and at the time that I did Radio Free America 36, involving Covert Action Information Bulletin number 35. Yeltsin, of course, was merely Gorbachev's chief rival. He is now, of course, the president of the now independent Russian Republic of the former Soviet Union, partitioned along the lines that the ABN, the Intramarium, and the Ostministerium of Alfred Rosenberg had envisioned and desired. We're going to read now from an article called "The Free Congress Foundation Goes East," co-authored by Russ Ballant and Lewis Wolf. It reads, "With the rapid pace of political change sweeping Eastern Europe and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, many opportunities have emerged for Western interests to intervene in the politics of that region. In some cases, such a vacuum has been created that virtual strangers to the area several years ago are now able to actively participate in changing these societies from within. These interventions are not only being practiced by mainstream organizations. The involvement of the United States far right brings with it the potential revival of fascist organizations in the East. One U.S. group, the Free Congress Foundation, has been playing a role in Eastern European and Soviet politics and has ties to Boris Yeltsin and the Interregional Deputies Group, or IRG, in the USSR. Continuing. The Free Congress Foundation, or FCF, was founded in 1974 by Paul Weyrich as the Committee for the Survival of a Free Congress. Weyrich, who had started the Heritage Foundation the year before, was heavily funded by the Coors family for both organizations. Weyrich has kept one foot in the right wing of the Republican Party while dallying with the racist right and the extreme Christian right. And as we're going to see, he also obviously is dallying with the ABN, thereby reflecting to a considerable extent the perpetuation of the liberation milieu involving the synthesis of U.S. national security establishment, the radical right, and some of the same Galen, ABN-related elements that we've been focusing on. Skipping down, after a visit to Moscow and Hungary, and also some of the Baltic republics, by the way, including Estonia, quote, Weyrich stated upon his return that his visit to Moscow was, quote, the most incredible experience of our lives, unquote. There, he worked with the IRG of the Supreme Soviet, a leadership body of the Communist Party. He said that they were unequivocally in favor of private property, a market economy, and the restoration of religion. The IRG was established by Andrei Sakharov, Boris Yeltsin, and others in the summer of 1989. By the end of that year, a training school had been established for candidates to put forward the IRG program. Their electoral success this year propelled Yeltsin to the leadership of the Russian Soviet Socialist Republic. He immediately began forging collaborative relationships with the deeply reactionary leaders of the Lithuanian Sąjūdis Party, interrupting, of course, we just took a look at Sąjūdis and its and some of its fascist participation and antecedents. Continuing, the IRG has also served as a source of right-wing pressure on Gorbachev to dismantle socialism and the Soviet Union itself. One of the key dangers in this agenda is the political vacuum it creates, allowing ultranationalist forces in a number of republics to increase their influence and possibly take power. Such nationalist and fascist elements are already evident in Lithuania and the Ukraine. In the latter republic, the pro-Nazi Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN, has gained influence in several parties and has mobilized large demonstrations that honor OUN leaders who abetted Hitler's war on the Eastern Front. Interrupting, of course, OUN's main Nazi collaborator, Stefan Bandera, worked for the Galen Organization both when it worked for Germany and the U.S. His assassination, probably at the hands of the Galen Organization, was an element that the WACCFL used to help generate the myth that Lee Harvey Oswald killed President Kennedy on behalf of the Soviets. That compelled many people who knew what had happened with the Kennedy assassination to actually cover it up because they were afraid that it could lead to a Third World War if the American people perceived that Oswald was a Soviet agent. Resuming Balant's narrative here of the Ukraine and the OUN, in the latter republic, the pro-Nazi Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN, has gained influence in several parties and has mobilized large demonstrations that honor OUN leaders who abetted Hitler's war on the Eastern Front. Similarly, several Sąjūdis deputies served in German-supported military units in 1944, and Sąjūdis has made declarations against ethnic Russians living in Lithuania. According to some reports, Poles have also been denigrated. It should also be noted that, quote, radical reformer, unquote, Boris Yeltsin has dallied with Pamyat, P-A-M-Y-A-T, the foremost Russian fascist group to emerge in the last several years. Pamyat's virulent anti-Semitism compares to the crude propaganda of the early German Nazi Party in the 1920s. The FCF is not entirely disconnected from the history of the OUN. The treasurer of the FCF board is George Washington University professor Charles Moser, M-O-S-E-R. Moser, also serves on the editorial advisory board of the Ukrainian Quarterly, published by the Ukrainian Congress Committee of America, a group dominated by the OUN. The Ukrainian Quarterly has praised military units of the German SS and otherwise justified the OUN alliance with the Third Reich, which reflects the fact that the OUN was politically and militarily allied with Hitler and the Nazi occupation of the Ukraine. The OUN, an international semi-secret cadre organization headquartered in Bavaria, has received financial assistance from the late Franz Josef Strauss, S-T-R-A-U-S-S, the rightist head of the Bavarian state. Strauss also had a working relationship with Weyrich. Weyrich fed speeches by Strauss attacking Germany's détente with the USSR to U.S. senators who would then insert them into the congressional record. When Strauss came to Washington, Weyrich was the person who helped set up his itinerary. Skipping down, despite his long associations with anti-democratic elements, Weyrich has been able to get money from the National Endowment for Democracy, the congressionally funded agency designed to intervene overtly in the politics of other countries. Most recently, he was granted $40,000 to pass along to the Initiatives Foundation in Moscow, which is a non-profit affiliate of the IRG. The money is intended to assist in the purchase of communications hardware, including facsimile machines, duplicators, computers, desktop publishers, video cameras, and VCRs and supplies. In a recent fundraising appeal sent to select potential donors, Weyrich claimed that in every election except Romania, every group they trained won the elections. In a videotape accompanying the letter, he says that FCF trained Boris Yeltsin's campaign manager. Now note that the National Endowment for Democracy was the organization cited by Sean Gervaisi as promoting the direct interference in the affairs of the former Soviet Union. It is a key funder of FCF as well as LCRALIC and Sejudis. Skipping down again, in this particular article by Russ Ballant and Lou Wolf, finally, FCF's insinuation into the politics of the East must be judged by their selection of Laszlo Pastor to head their Liberation Support Alliance, quote, which seeks to liberate peoples in Central and Eastern European nations. Once again, here we see the evolution of the liberation philosophy, again, beginning with the Third Reich, winding up with the Reagan administration and the Bush administration, the ultimate exponents of the liberation philosophy. Finally, FCF's insinuation into the politics of the East must be judged by their selection of Laszlo Pastor to head their Liberation Support Alliance, quote, which seeks to liberate peoples in Central and Eastern European nations, unquote. Pastor's involvement in East European politics began in World War II when he joined the youth organization of the Arrow Cross, the Nazi Party of Hungary. When the Arrow Cross was installed in power by a German commando operation, Pastor was sent to Berlin to help facilitate the liaison between the Arrow Cross and Hitler. Pastor was tried and served 2 years in jail for his Arrow Cross activities after an anti-communist government was elected in Hungary in 1945. He eventually came to the U.S. and established the ethnic arm of the Republican National Committee for Richard Nixon. He brought other Nazi collaborators from the Eastern Front into the GOP. Some were later found to have participated in mass murder during the war. The dormant Arrow Cross has surfaced again in Hungary, where there have been attempts to lift the ban on the Nazi organization. Pastor spent several months in Hungary. When Weyrich later conducted training there, he was provided a list of Pastor's contacts inside the country. Weyrich reported that he conducted a training for the recently formed and now governing party, New Democratic Forum. Again, when Weyrich later conducted training there, he was provided a list of Pastor's contacts inside the country. Weyrich reports that he conducted training for the recently formed and now governing party, New Democratic Forum. Pastor claims to have assisted some of his friends in Hungary in getting NED funding through his advisory position with NED. In 1989, he spoke at the Heritage Foundation under the sponsorship of the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, or ABN, a multinational umbrella organization of emigre fascists and Nazis founded an alliance with Hitler in 1943. It is led by the OUN. Pastor spoke for the, quote, Hungarian organization, unquote, of ABN, which is the Arrow Cross. Now, recall that ABN, the Arrow Cross, I should say, Iron Guard, the Bulgarian National Front, and the other organizations which were represented in the Republican Heritage Group's council, the founder of which was this very same Laszlo Pastor, now head of the Liberation Support Alliance of FCF. These organizations were affiliated with the SS, the organization that the Nazis saw as the core of their underground movement. And again, we now see not only the FCF close to Boris Yeltsin of the Soviet Union, Yeltsin dallying with Sejudis, the OUN receiving support from the same organization, FCF, in the Ukraine. We see in Hungary the Arrow Cross people, Arrow Cross elements working on behalf of the Free Congress Foundation being funded by the National Endowment for Democracy. And we see that the New Democratic Forum, which, as we looked at in Radio Free America 36, became a repository for many of the Arrow Cross, resurgent Arrow Cross elements in Hungary, it is now the dominant political party in Hungary. Now, this is not to say that these resurgent fascist elements have been or necessarily will be in all or even most of the newly independent countries of Eastern Europe or the newly independent ethnic republics of the former Soviet Union, but in some of them, such as the Ukraine, where the RUK organization, spelled R-U-K-H, is the dominant independence party, they look directly to Stefan Bandera of the OUN as for their political inspiration. Obviously, Sejudis is heavily influenced by the fascist and Nazi periods in Lithuanian history. In Croatia, Franjo Tudjman, the president of Croatia, is a no-Holocaust theorist, denies the Holocaust happened, and the Ustashi have returned to Croatia. There are resurgent Iron Guardists in Romania, as we shall see. So in at least some of these territories, the fascist elements are dominant. They are resurgent in all of them. But again, it remains to be seen whether they will be triumphant, although I think a world economic collapse or continued economic privation in that part of the world will tend to benefit those same fascist elements. So again, OUN is being assisted by the Free Congress Foundation. It is also an organization that intersects with the Free Congress Foundation and Charles Moser. And we've seen that the Free Congress Foundation, which obviously is related with the ABN, Laszlo Pastor of ABN, is its director of the Liberation Alliance. The FCF is very close to Boris Yeltsin, now the president of the newly independent Russian Republic. And obviously, FCF is deeply involved in Hungary with the New Democratic Forum. In another related article called Balkan Nationalists Peddling Fascism, this is by Howard Goldenthal, G-O-L-D-E-N-T-H-A-L, and the very same Russ Ballant, more about FCF and the Ukraine, skipping down. For the young, OUN has a new organization called the Union of Independent Ukrainian Youth, inspired by the wartime OUN leader Stefan Bandera. In addition, right-wing Ukrainian-Americans were involved in the March elections. Ashkod Luzinski, A-S-K-O-L-D-L-O-Z-Y-N-S-K-I-J, General Counsel for the OUN-dominated Ukrainian Congress Committee of America, and other activists were sent by the Washington-based Free Congress Foundation. So obviously there's a strong relationship and a degree of overlap between the FCF and the ABN. FCF active in the Ukraine, Hungary, the Russian Republic, relations between the NED-funded LCRA and LIC are very strong and has helped to promote fascist elements in the now independent Lithuania. We're going to take a look at yet another party, another secessionist element, which is reminiscent of the Third Reich, and which also fits in very nicely with the agenda of the Rosenberg Ostministerium and the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. We're going to take a look now at, first of all, before we do this, let's take a look at a section of the same article Balkan Nationalists Peddling Fascism by Howard Goldenthal and Russ Belant, B-E-L-L-A-N-T. And again, this is also from Covert Action Information Bulletin number 35. And again, this is something that was discussed in greater detail in Radio Free America 36. The same Iron Guard elements that we saw represented in not only the Galen organization, the same Iron Guard elements that were affiliated with the SS, the same Iron Guard that of which Florian Galdau and Valerian Trifa were members, Galdau a member of the RHGC, founded by Laszlo Pastor of Free Congress Foundation and ABN, the Iron Guard are also resurgent in Romania, although they are not the dominant element, at least not yet. I will note, though, that recently the Romanian Parliament honored Ion Antonescu, the Iron Guard president, the collaborationist president of fascist Romania during World War II. In the Goldenthal-Blant article, Balkan Nationalists Peddling Fascism, we find, at the time of the Tirguru Mureș violence, T-I-R-G-U-M-U-R-E-S, that was anti-Hungarian violence, in Romania, interim president Petre Roman, P-E-T-R-E-R-O-M-A-N, expelled three Romanian Canadians for promoting fascist ideas. One of those expelled was George Balasu, B-E-L-A-S-U, well known in the Romanian community in the West as editor of the pro-Iron Guard Romanian Voice. The Hamilton, Ontario-based paper supports Valerian Trifa, head of a faction of the Romanian Orthodox Church dominated by Iron Guardists. Trifa fled the U.S. in 1984 after the Justice Department's Office of Special Investigations found evidence implicating him in a Bucharest pogrom in 1941. By the way, that pogrom was stimulated by Otto von Bolschwing, again the associate of Helena von Damm, a key Galen operative when he was a member of the SS. We looked at that in Radio Free America number 3. In Radio Free America number 2, we looked at how Nicolae Malaxa, the financier of the Iron Guard, was allowed to stay in the United States as a result of massive lobbying and activities on behalf of then-Senator Richard Nixon. Continuing here, and bear in mind that the Romanian Voice sympathetic to Valerian Trifa, Florian Galdau, also a Trifa associate. Good press is not the only support such groups are receiving from the West. Vatra Romanesca, an extreme right organization, including Iron Guardists, recently boasted it had financial backing from, quote, influential political figures at home and several more or less clandestine organizations abroad, particularly French and Canadian ones, unquote. Iron Guardists are also part of the leadership of the National Christian Peasants Party, the NCPP, is virulently nativist and anti-Semitic, and has been linked to violence against Hungarian farmers.